May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be holy and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, O Rock and Redeemer. Amen. There is a strange passage in St. Augustine's 4th-century work, The Confessions, a description of his meeting with the then Bishop of Milan, the one the church would come to know as St. Ambrose. When he read, wrote Augustine, his eyes scanned the page and his heart set out the meaning, but his voice was silent and his tongue was still. Anyone could approach him freely, and often when we came to visit him, we found him reading like this in silence, for he never read aloud. Did you catch that? When he read, his voice was silent and his tongue was still. What is strange here, my friends, is not what is happening here, but the fact that Augustine found it worth noting in the first place. This is just how we read nowadays. We read in silence by ourselves. But when Augustine was writing, this was a time when reading silently was a strange sight, a time before the printing press made literacy not just a privilege, but a necessity, a time when most reading took place out loud. That's just not the way that people read books back then. It was notable because it was a strange thing to sit and read silently, to read by yourself. We live in a completely different world now. We live in a time where reading and learning take place in isolation. It has become the task of a self-made individual of sorts, not a communal task. And we don't notice this now, but this is a radically different way of learning, a much different approach than the way that people used to learn things. Our brain synapses are trained from the time that we are young to take in information through our eyes, reading the words in a printed page. People before us were accustomed to learning by listening instead. Our world of learning may be an isolated experience where people long before us used to learn in the context of a community, two or more people listening, talking, and telling stories, interacting with one another as they made sense of the world in front of them. In today's gospel, we witness one such moment. Jesus, the teacher, is among the people of Israel, telling stories, recounting parables, sharing wisdom, drawing people into a community of faith, a community of would-be disciples. And even though Jesus teaches in a way that they are accustomed to, by sharing parables and wisdom, by telling stories, Jesus' teaching doesn't always line up with what they've heard before. Jesus, this wandering rabbi, disrupts the way that this would-be group of learners have interpreted the world. Jesus, this Galilean teacher, introduces a yoke that they are not accustomed to. Now, a yoke is, of course, a wooden beam that ties a pair of oxen together to a plow. In the time when this scene took place, though, it was also a common symbol for the teachings of the law, or a rabbi's teachings on the law. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, Jesus says, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Take my teaching upon you. Take the teachings that I am giving you on your hearts and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke, my teaching is easy, and my burden is light. Now, Jesus' yoke, Jesus' teachings may be comfort for the weary, but let's be honest here. It also tends to demand so much more. Jesus may talk about how easy and gentle his yoke is, but there's good reason why he met with such profound resistance, good reason why people didn't think that this was an easy word to take in. You have heard it said that you shall not murder. He says, just before our passage here in the Gospel of Matthew, but I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. You have heard that said, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them for 2 miles. You have heard that said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. No, my friends, Jesus' yoke is no easy task. Taking on Jesus' teaching requires a community of faith. It requires being a part of a people who learn and listen together, a people who share that journey with us. We are not an island unto ourselves, and we can't learn to live by Jesus' teachings, by his principles, in isolation. It would be impossible to live up to these standards that way. Taking on his yoke involves a radical reassessment of our priorities. It draws us out of isolation and into the life of a community that lives by these principles. It paves the way to a different way of life. What might it look like to follow Jesus' teaching now? Friends, we are now going through another radical restructuring of the way we learn, similar to that moment we started reading by ourselves. This time, though, it is driven by technology that is just at our fingertips at every waking moment of our lives. Our brain synapses are being retrained by the way we consume information. Not only are we learning in isolation, but research now indicates that this constant source of distraction, this constant ability we have to entertain and distract ourselves, is making it even more difficult for us to connect with God and with one another. Even though we have more information at our disposal than anyone has ever had at any time in the known history of the world, we seem less able to focus our attention, more prone to anxiety and depression. Even though we have the ability to be in touch with whomever we'd like, whenever we'd like, we seem less able to connect authentically with those whom we care about. What does it look like to take on Jesus' teaching in the middle of these new challenges? What does it look like to focus our attention on Jesus when distractions assail us on every side? Friends, taking on Jesus' yoke will require work and effort. But I promise that it will bear much fruit for you, especially in these times. Now, let me be clear here. I don't think technology is a bad thing. I think it is helping us to connect with one another even as we speak, as we gather together from the comfort of our homes right now. But I do think we need to think about its proper place in our lives. And Jesus is inviting us to deeper waters in a world where the shallows are all too tempting, where the consumption of the trivial and the collection of likes abounds. Jesus wants to help us focus our attention. Jesus is inviting us to turn off the constant notifications and turn our attention toward authentic, life-giving community in the middle of a noisy, distracting and distractible world. Will you make space for prayer and that authentic connection today? Set the distractions aside so that you can focus on the things that matter. I can't say that the way forward will be easy, but most things in life that are worth doing aren't easy. I can tell you that life abundant is waiting on the other side. And I hope you will take Jesus up on the invitation. Friends, today I am grateful for the life of prayer that I found at St. Paul's recently. We've been doing morning prayer every weekday since the pandemic started, clergy and lay people reading and sharing that time together. And to be honest with you, it has called me to a deeper life of prayer myself. I can't say that it has made my life easier just yet. I can't say that I've set time aside to pray every single day, or that I've been able to ward off distractions even while I pray. But I can tell you that the invitation has started to reshape my way of being in the world. It has helped me focus my attention on the things that matter. It has called me to deeper connection with God and with the people that I care about in my life. This is the call out of isolation and into community, a reminder of what's important in a world full of chaos, crises, busyness, and distraction. We are not an island to ourselves. We were never meant to learn the way of Jesus in isolation, disconnected and assailed by distractions on every side. So take courage, my friends. God has plans for you, plans to make you prosper and keep you from harm, plans to give you hope and a future. So take up Jesus's yoke today. Put down your phone if you can and make space for authentic connection today. Or pick up your phone and make space for authentic connection today. Whatever you do, follow after that wandering, storytelling, loving, and liberating Messiah. And let that experience of authentic connection transform you, shape you into the kind of person who is able to find rest and comfort in their souls. Amen.